Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Can't have a burger without Megan Berg.
Cindy Burgess Gerson. What an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme. Plus our super premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Brava we love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me today on this wonderful Friday from the middle of the country, it's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and Rose Prick's Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello. I'm in the middle of the country and I'm in the middle of Texas.
Yeah, deep in the heart of, if you will.
Yeah, I'm Texas tough today.
Yeah. We are like very excited because after like a week of blatant self-promotion, the gates are open and people are buying tickets to all our shows today, and the tickets are flying off the proverbial shelves. It's so exciting.
Also, I'm in bed at my mom's house. Like, I've been talking about getting a bed desk for months. I've been wanting to, but then I'm like, you know, Gilbert Grape's mom, don't do it. So I'm testing it out today. I have to say it's quite lovely. Handheld mic, blanket over my head.
Blanket over the head. You're in your own.
It's
like,
cold port. Here. It snowed yesterday. It doesn't snow in Austin.
Yeah, that's crazy. I did see that on the news. It snowed. Well, okay. So Austin is covered in snow. LA is on fire. What else is new?
Yeah, ash is falling in both places. I guess God is just giving me a nice, you know, fall of ash wherever I go.
Yeah, exactly. tickets are on sale for, let's see if we can go down, if I can do the list by memory. Boston, New York, Houston, Detroit, DC, and Chicago. DC, we haven't like checked in with all our venues yet, but one thing we do know is that DC is extremely close to selling out. It's like within 35 minutes, they were down to like maybe only a few VIPs and tickets left, so it may have sold out by now. Who knows?
Nobody knows, but yeah, I think, sure love it.
I think the Chicago VIP sold out in, 12 minutes? Is that what I read? Yeah, those VIP tickets, when
it's
they go on.
Because of that whole, it's that whole lap dance thing we do before, I think, really adds to it.
Yeah, I think that really, it's like that adds a lot of, you know. And we don't just do a lap dance, we sing on display while we do it.
Oh my God, did you hear that white trash rasp? It was like, this is my trailer parked. My trailer park rasp is back.
Well, today we are very excited because one of our favorite shows is back on the air. It's none other than Top Chef. Top Chef Colorado is back. I was very excited, but my notes are a little scattered because basically here's what happened. So we're recording in the morning. Ronnie's in Texas, and Ronnie has to go do family stuff and fun things. So we're recording in the morning, and then I had, before this podcast, I had a sesh with Horace, the trainer. And the thing is that last night...
I love that name, Horace the Trainer. Horace it sounds trainer. Like a Pixar. It's like a Pixar trainer.
He's so nice. If you ever leave a trainer...
He has to be.
Yeah, that's true. He has to be. That's fine. I'm trying to get Paula Abdul, like, hey, Paula, where she's, like, friends with all her makeup artists.
You're friends with all your Horaces.
All my Horaces.
Could you just have Horace names for everybody that you deal with? I want you to have a trainer named Horace, a haircutting guy named Horace. I love the name Horace.
My barber's named Carmen. She's a lesbian.
Oh, yeah. So you can't call her Horace because that's like whore for short.
She's Carmen. She'll get on Carmen that. And Horace.
Yeah, that works.
That works. Carmen the barber. Carmen's also very sweet. But what happens is she's so sweet. She calls me Poppy like the entire time. She's like, oh, no, she calls to call me Papo. Like, she's like, hey, Papo. And then like the session will be going so nicely. And then usually about three quarters of the way through, she starts talking some crazy shit. Like, she's like, yeah, man, the chemtrails in the air. I mean, I don't know why they're spraying us. Like, what are they trying to do to us?
Oh, my God. I wish I had hair because those are the conversations I need in my life. I read that shit every day. Yeah, no, I'll be like, chemtrails, girl. Well, don't you believe in cloud seeding? I mean, it's helped the sky. Let's talk
about
it.
That's what she goes. She goes, I know it's good for the weather. I know they do it for the weather, man, but I don't know what they're doing to our drinking water, man.
We've been drinking fluoride for years anyway, okay? We're going to have very nice teeth in our stomach. So thanks, Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah, so Carmen is... You can come to the barber next time if you want, just to hang out.
Be careful what you say, Ben.
You really should. She's so sweet. She's so sweet. But anyway, so last night, during when I would normally be watching Top Chef, because it premiered last night, I had the great honor to join the masses and finally see Hamilton at the Pantages Theater here in Los Angeles. So I pretty much had to watch Top Chef after Hamilton, and it was very difficult.
Yeah, because like they don't even cook anything in Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's like a totally different mindset. And I read on Facebook that all the alerts started going off in the theater for Hamilton. Did you hear them?
I'm not sure if I heard the Hamilton alerts, but what I did hear, so I heard someone's like FaceTime go off and I was like, that's rude. You know, that noise that, you know, I was like, wait, is someone FaceTiming in Hamilton right now? Stop that. Stop that right now.
Well, you could do those lyrics really with any iPhone ringer, like, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm Alexander. My dad said, wait, hold on. I'm trying to remember the lyric because I listened to the album and everyone's like, what's your favorite song? And I was like, all I can remember is, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm Alexander Hamilton.
I'm not throwing away my shot or whatever it's called.
My friend Darren is like, hey, here's my review of Hamilton. What's your name again?
Well, I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good. But that's, I'm not here to talk about Hamilton. Like, wow, what a bombshell revelation. Someone liked Hamilton. I'm saying that, like, I came home and I was so tired. It takes a lot out of you, all that clapping and, like, you know, American pride. So,
yeah, it's a lot.
So I came America, home.
America is, like, a great, you know, we're very lucky to live in America, but it's tiring, girl. Like,
I like to think that Hamilton's really about Gail Simmons, even though she's Canadian.
She showed up.
The sous vide turn upside down.
I'm Gail Simmons pattern dress. I'm Gail Simmons pattern dress. I'm Gail. When Gail Simmons came out in that Laura Ashley pattern dress, I started laughing so loud. And my mom and dad were here, you know, and my mom watched it with me. I'm like, come on, mom, you're a chef. You'll love it. And she's like, I hate that show. Because I think I've said it on this show before, but I watched way back in the first season with my mom, and she was like, you can't make gnocchi in 30 minutes, so this show's a lie, and no one should watch it, you know?
Yeah.
So last night, she was watching it with me for the first time since then, and just listening to her comments going through the thing, like, she was so disgusted with some of the things people got away with, and I was dying laughing. So my notes are insane, too, because I didn't want to pause over and over, right. So I was just like typing. So I sent them to you if you need something to kind of follow along with.
Okay. I have notes. I have notes. It's just that, like, in the last, like, 20 minutes, I started to doze off. Not because of Top Chef. It was just because it was, like, at that point, it was, like, 1 in the morning, and I just had, you know, show tunes. They do that to you. Like, I've had a night full of show tunes. A night full of belting show tunes. And
it's rough.
It is rough. It is rough.
It's like, did you mean to Alexander Hamilton? Alexander.
I know. I feel like all my notes are going to be like that. And then Gail and Padma got into a duel. That was strange. And Padma reached to the sky and Gail shot her. Gail.
Graham Elliott tried to have a rap battle.
Graham Elliott wrote 85 essays in 2 months. What?
Well, this Top Chef is kind of giving a nod to Broadway. They hired a Hispanic Bruce Valanche, and Graham is kind of like Bruce Valanche too. So we've got a lot of Hairspray moms in this, this season.
Graham looks not unlike Carmen, my barber. I don't know if Carmen looks like Graham or Graham looks like Carmen, but I feel like he looks a little bit more like a butch lesbian.
Well, Carmen's amazing. Carmen on this show, what isn't her name, Carmen? The Hispanic girl with the tortoise shell glasses.
This is a good reminder. I was going to do this before. I'm actually going to load up the Top Chef people because I can't remember their names in the beginning and there are too many of them.
Oh, I know. I'm just like Amish. What was I calling that guy? Like
Amish is Chris. And then
there's Mustache Joe and Fat Joe. By the way, Fat Joe should be named Horace. Doesn't he look like a Horace?
Well, it doesn't look like my Horace.
He doesn't look like a personal trainer, but he does look like a Horace from like a Norman Rockwell painting.
I need to bring up my Top Chef bios because this is, I don't remember. Oh, you know, no. Fat Joe was the one who did like the snapper, right? At one point?
Yeah, he did a snapper. Yeah.
No, he's like Jonah Hill.
Oh my God, he is Jonah Hill.
I wrote that down. I said Jonah Hill.
Oh, and I love him. I really love Fat Joe. Okay, Fat Jonah. So Jonah, I should stop calling him fat, but I'm not saying that in a mean way. It's just like a descriptive way, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
fat.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, so the episode begins where the chefs all walk into a very poorly lit Top Chef kitchen. I don't know what's going on with the sound stages in Denver. But the lighting was bonkers all episode long. Like, what is happening over at Magical Elves? You guys have to, like, fix your lights and, like, plug them in properly or something because everything looks strange. So
well, they're trying to make it a horror movie, you know? And the music is like, dun, 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 dun. What is so scary about Denver? Stop trying to make Colorado this terrifying place. It's a peaceful, wonderful place.
Yeah. So so they walk in, and Padma's, like, of course, standing on her own little rectangle, and she's like, "Welcome to Denver, Colorado, and welcome to the 15th season of Top Chef. I'm Padma, and yes, I can wear white."
"Look at me. I'm wearing an actual dress that covers almost everything, even my shoulders. Whoops, you can see my thong. Is that on purpose? I don't know." Padma would wear a white dress that looks like so innocent and then her thong sticking through. I'm like, you go, bitch. I love her.
Well, it also, like, it takes a certain amount of bravery to wear, like, an all-white dress, I believe. And Padma can pull it off. I mean, there's very few things that Padma can't pull off. So
and then pulls off.
Yeah.
Also, like, Padma, it is brave to wear white in a room full of people who actually love carbs. Because, yeah. Like, this cast eats, you know, it's Top Chef. That Bruce Valanche guy can barely walk. He's like, "I can't finish my food." I'm like, you can barely walk to the fridge, yeah. Boo.
Bruce Kalman, you mean? That guy.
Yeah. Well, he's like Bruce. He's like the Italian Bruce Valanche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very winded and he was just like picking up a wooden spoon. He's like, "He said, help me. I know
he'll
help
me." He needs
over
a jazzy. Yeah. He needs a jazzy and one of those screens in front of him, like the people on WALL-E, because that's my dream too. So I'm there with you, Bruce.
So basically, Padma announces that for the chefs to get to know each other, they are going to be doing a potluck meal, and on top of that, it's going to be their quick fire challenge, a big potluck. So this is exciting. I'm glad that Top Chef has moved away from that annoying thing where it's like, oh, we're going to eliminate someone before the competition even begins, because I hate that gimmick in reality TV.
Yeah, I just hate when there's 50 people in the beginning.
Yeah,
I do love that they get all these famous chefs and then make them cry right away. I was telling my mom that. I was like, you have to watch, because now there's like, since the James Beard Award is given away for like, hey, it's Wednesday, let's give some... I won the James Beard Wednesday Award. You know, they've got like 1,000 awards yearly. Uh-huh. I'm like, now they're like really famous accomplished chefs that cry. She's like, okay, I'll watch.
You know, I'm looking at the cast right now online, and this woman, Jennifer Carroll, I'm pretty sure she's not on the show. I'm pretty sure they have an accidental photo here in the Top Chef bio section. Did you see this woman at all last night, Jennifer Carroll?
What'd she look like?
She's blonde.
What'd she look like? I don't think they had any blonde girls.
No, I don't think she was there.
Maybe I couldn't see her past that happy girl smile. I was like, you need to stop smiling, Carrie, the girl Carrie. Yeah. I'm like, if you smile one more time, they're going to kick you off for that. Tom hates smiling.
Wait a second. They say Kwame. Kwame wasn't there. Wait a second. Wait, that Jen.
Oh, they'd have that playback where they all get to come back on.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Their website's spoiling something. Jennifer Carroll, you know who she is? She was the one from Philadelphia. She was in that Philadelphia. She was on for 2 seasons. She's really, really good. And then she like flamed out. Like her first season that she was on, whenever it was, she messed up. And then she came back and messed up. So Kwame, oh shit, there's some twist that the website is.
I know. Marcel, spoiler alert.
Marcel is on.
Yeah, Leanne Marcel Wong. Marneau.
What is happening?
Oh my god, they're all back?
Those four are back. Marcel, Leanne. Marcel looks great, by the way.
He's hot. They showed him at the end of the episode last night, but they showed it like it was going to be Last Chance Kitchen. I thought the person who lost had to go back.
Oh, but they may be part of Last Chance Kitchen. Or maybe I just like fell asleep during that part. Because I remember I thought the episode was over, and I was like, good, I can put my head back. And
well, if something will wake you up, it's the guy who's like, I'm here for Amish soul food. I was like, wait a minute. Are you wait, what? Yeah. He's my favorite. He's like, so basically, you know, it's like hot dogs, but add some Pakistani stuff and then make a taco out of them. Or like get some Mexican food and make it out of hot dogs and potatoes. It's like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's basically like the Amish food mixed with Rumspringa food, which I'm down for. You know, you only get Rumspringa once a year where you get to like fuck gay people and do all sorts of crazy stuff. Before you decide whether or not you're going to be Amish or like a shitty American. So
I imagine,
think he's just mixing both.
I just imagine Amish comfort food being something that like 10 Amish men like find like a big thing of bread and they all get behind and they raise it up until it stands on its side.
Yes. And then they wait for it to get really hard so it breaks your teeth. And then they drink it with like a dot of like goat's milk.
Yeah.
I mean, what is Amish comfort food? The whole point of being Amish is that you don't feel comfort.
It better not involve zippers. So Bruce is like, he's running to the fridge and he's like, well, I'm going to check. Never thought my zipper joke would land so well with you.
Well, why does it take me a paragraph and then you can do it with a zipper joke? You son of a bitch.
Well, my first joke sort of failed. I was like trying to equate like Amish people cooking to barn raising. I don't think it really landed. So Bruce is like, he goes to the kitchen and he's like, I'm going to check the proteins, you know, cause I always know you got to check the proteins first. Cause I don't want to be stuck with something shitty like chicken wings. And then Sweet Tanya, who's from Oakland, she does Brown Sugar Kitchen. She's like, I'm going to make some wings. I was like, yes, Tanya, make those wings. Shame Bruce and all the assistance he needs.
Yeah. Bruce is kind of an asshole. And just like a general, as someone with weight issues, you know, people, if you have weight issues, that means you're most likely going to be sweaty, especially in the kitchen. That's okay. People expect it. But don't put pomade in your hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give yourself a break. The guy just looks like a big greasy mess.
Yeah.
Now, then you don't need hair that sticks up, Bruce. Okay. Get a hat.
Now, there's this guy, Tyler, who's from Connecticut. It's sort of Simsbury, very random. And at first I was like, oh, this fucking asshole, because he starts bragging about his tattoos. He's like, yeah, he's like, most people got their tattoos because they became a chef, but I was a punk rocker first. I'm like, wait, way to be original on Top Chef. Oh, you were into punk rock. Oh, did you also, were you homeless when you were 17? Were you saved by food? Did that happen to you also? So originally I was like, And he's like, all these chefs have crispy veggie tattooed on them, but I have a deep fryer of oil on my back. I was like, fuck you. And then he's like, just kidding. I was like, all right, you're cool.
Yeah, I like him. He's like the bitter one, and he really slams somebody later. Yeah. He's really bitter and fat and has a bald head, and I love him. I hope he wins.
Yeah, he's like over all the bullshit. Like, because later on, he's like, he's angry at like the farm to table movement. He's like, oh, it's from farm to table. He puts like air quotes. He's like, because it's all from a fucking farm. I was like, ooh, Sinjiro is mad.
He's like, it all starts at a fucking farm. Like, where the hell else are you going to get your lettuce? I like him. I was writing things down so fast. I was like, girl with a greasy face. Like, what am I going to do with that note, really? Asian guy with baseball cap nodding a lot. Okay, now this too, David Fu, love yeah. Julie Newmar, whatever. This guy is obnoxious as hell.
What? I like him.
He's bugging me because he's so positive. Okay. He's really nice, first of all. So I'm not signing up for that.
I find him to be oddly hot. I feel like there's something very hot about him. Isn't that weird?
No. I mean, he's cute. But his, I just don't like him because he's nodding yes all the time. And then he's looking around the room and he's like, oh my God, that guy's famous. Oh my God, that guy's famous too. Oh my God, that guy's famous too. He's like a fanboy. And then he's trying to kiss everybody's ass by helping them because he's so impressed with them, which I get it. But, you know, fake it because I don't want to see someone positive win. Nobody does. You know, we just want to see you get crushed.
You've not only not convinced me, you've made me like him more.
See, because I made him the underdog.
He is, because he helped other people and he was literally burned for it later on. No, I am, yeah. I am very pro too. I'm like, I'm to David Fu. I'm pro. He's got like amazing lips too, by the way. They're like
big, yeah, he's got some lips. Big old lips. Yeah. Now this girl, Adrienne, I don't know if she's annoying to me because her name is Adrienne, like from Real Housewives, but she's got some moxie, which I like, but she's also kind of snotty, and she's like, well, I'm the first female chef at Le Bernardin, and I'm going to be the first black female top chef. And I was like, because then she makes like sweet potatoes with sweet pork and sweet stuff.
Yeah.
And then sweet, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. She probably, I think during our we did a preview episode of all these people, chefs.
I forgot.
I think we liked her. I thought we felt like, oh yeah, she'd be one to watch, but she really did not do a good job last night. We also had in the middle of this, like, potluck, there is this other Joe. He's from LA, or he works in LA, of course, and he has a handlebar mustache, of course. It's just like, ugh. But you know, I feel like the tides are changing on Top Chef, because we had a full sequence of everyone making fun of his mustache. Including the Connecticut guy was like, he looks like a Brooklyn bartender, which I love that he says that as an insult. Like, I love Brooklyn bartender is now has been elevated to insult, you know?
I liked that Amish Chris was like, he looks like one of those dudes that ties people to the train tracks.
You know, because in previous Top Chef seasons, people would be like, that's pretty rad. What a cool mustache. I want to grow a mustache.
Yeah.
Although I may be too busy tending to my newly minted pork tattoo.
Yeah, that guy's like got terrible timing. He's got that horrible mustache, which, I mean, even at like that place in LA, what's that place? It's right down the street from where we had Thanksgiving at your friend Jessica's house.
Oh,
that me and Trisha went to get French. Yeah. Even the guys at the Pikey are stopping the handlebar mustache. And they love that there. Like, yeah, they all have that.
There's a guy in my gym who has a handlebar mustache, and it pisses me off because he, like, you know, he's at the gym, he's in like gym shorts and like a tank top, and he actually has like muscles and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't understand, like, for some reason, the clash of a handlebar mustache and, like, gym shorts, it does not work for me. I'm like, at least take the handlebar out when you're going to the gym. It's just, like, such an affected look for gym shorts.
It's also, like, we live in America. Like, you can say what you want about our country, but we're a very privileged country, and we're lucky to live here. And I don't like people just looking that thirsty. Like, there's free water everywhere, you know. Go to the water fountain, you know? There's like people who really need it.
Yeah, like, please don't like walk around as if you take a penny farthing to work, okay? Like, enough with the handlebar mustache, okay? We know you're in like a Toyota Celica.
Don't come to the gym looking like you belong on a Swinson's billboard, okay, fucker?
Don't come to the gym looking like you are trying to sell tickets to the circus, okay? Old-timey circus.
So we've also got the girl from that 70s show, and now Orange is the New Black. She's in it, and she's Laura all super Prepon, insecure. Yeah, AKA, Laura Prepon.
AKA Melissa Perfit. perfect. She had panic attacks to prep for the show, she said.
I think it's Scientology's making her crazy. She's like, is this the right thing to do or isn't it? I don't know. She's like freaking out. And I thought, God, this girl's been on TV for a long time and still hasn't figured out how to do her eyebrows. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I'll help.
Yeah, she seemed like a disaster right from the get-go. Also, I'm going to sneeze. Oh my God, everyone. I didn't even have time to mute that. It was just so quick. It was so quick. It was so violent, but it's over now. We can all just like hold hands.
Horace.
I want to say also that like something else that was going on, that's been going on this episode of Top Chef, they decided to add a little like annoying sizzle. So like we saw footage of two shaving kernels off of a corn cob. And then they're like, let's put it in slow motion. And it was like kernels flying in slow-mo off the corn cob. It's like the Matrix. It's like I was expecting two to like dodge it, you know, like underneath it and like an agent to come out of like Gail Simmons or something.
Keanu Reeves is like hanging upside down from the top. Yeah, it was kind of weird. The handlebar guy, he's like, I'm making pasta, and then they showed him jiggling around his pasta in slow motion.
Yeah, it's like Noki's slow-mo. Keanu Reeves is like, he's like, I know souffle, whoa.
He's like the Matrix. Matrix fettuccine.
And those like, it's like 5 minutes left. You start seeing those like robot things coming towards the quick fire kitchen. Am I going too deep in my Matrix references?
I think I'm like, wait a minute, don't get to part three yet because I do not want to watch them all run around in like terrible poor people clothes.
Oh God,
like, I can't do part three. Okay, no. Just stay in part one. Stay in part one.
So
I have to also say in the opening, I feel like Padma really is just fucking with Gail at all times, okay? Yeah. Because Padma's like, hello, welcome to another season of Top Chef. And she's wearing a Gail dress. She's wearing this white dress with, like, farm shoulders, like, puffy shoulders. And it's got, like, what, bunnies or something? Like, blue little...
I didn't even notice.
Some country dress. It's, like, some kind of country dress like Gail. But she got it fitted. You know, it's like, here's how to do a horrible pattern, Gail. Did you mean to get upstaged every single episode by my one choice outfit?
Did you mean to not have little animals on your dress too, Gail?
It's flowers on white. LOL Farm Padma, I wrote. Okay.
Well, Gail went to TJ Maxx to get her dress. Bless her heart. She didn't realize there was a Bloomies down the street.
So the Amish soul guy is telling us what potluck means to him. And he's like, I'm going to make dumplings with only 45 minutes. He's like, dumplings, bro. He tells somebody. And he's like, I think of Amish comfort like chewing tobacco, Motley Crue, Philly grit, rump springer grits, brah.
At that point, I was like, did he say Amish? Because I don't know what part of Motley Crue is Amish.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he's rump springering back and forth.
I think he's less Amish and more Scranton.
And then they showed Tanya, who you talked about, who owns a soul food restaurant and is making wings. And she was wearing a waffle t-shirt, so of course I automatically love her.
Yeah.
But she kind of worried me because she said, ain't nothing but a chicken wing, which I don't know that I can get behind that. And also she said, I'm going to make these with Chipotle.
Oh, yeah. She said Chipotle weirdly. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But I hear her restaurant in Oakland is supposed to be amazing, and I was going to try to go there when I was in Oakland like 2 months ago, but I heard the lines are so, so long. I mean, it's kind of surprising she's on Top Chef. I feel like, but like, I hope she wins. I hope like that Tanya with her like awesome breakfast place in Oakland destroys Handlebar. That's what I want.
Me too. And I like that she has big earrings that go back and forth while she talks. Like, you know, I love that in a person because they show a lot about a personality.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of
the big bald guy's like, yeah. I came to represent, okay? I've got 4 James Beard Award nominations just this week alone. I'm going to make potato salad West Coast style. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what West Coast potato salad. I think potato salad is just potato salad unless you're doing it Korean style.
Yeah, it's just even Koreans. I mean, they leave it out on the table, so it's there when you get to the damn restaurant, which I don't know that I trust. Mm. But it's still just potatoes and mayonnaise.
But it has like apples in it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's really good. I actually love Korean potato salad.
I never eat it because I'm worried that flies pooped on it, you know, because it's just sitting out there.
I just love that that's where you draw your line.
I know. I don't have many, but the ones I have are very strong.
I'm still baffled by the fact that you don't like Korean food. Like, I think Korean food is just truly amazing, like a gift from the gods.
I think I was traumatized because my friend took me to one in the middle of the night and it was like fish soup, but they were whole fish and the eyes were still in them. Like, it looked like someone won some goldfish at like a state fair and just cooked them, and there was like bones in it. I don't know. I like it.
I wouldn't even think
refined.
I feel like that wouldn't even bother you. I don't feel like you're the type that would get turned off by fish heads.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that needs everything in front of me needs to actually be edible. I can't be like accidentally. I can't like pick an eyeball out. You know, I want to be able to just shove everything in my mouth. I don't need bones.
Oh yeah.
I feel like it's just very dangerous Korean food. It's dangerous.
No, it's delicious. It's actually extremely, extremely delicious. But yeah, bones are annoying, and fish bones are uniquely terrible. They're so annoying. I actually get mad at fish bones.
Yeah, fish eyes, like gross. I don't want you looking at me while I'm eating you.
Yeah,
gross.
Fish eyes don't bother me. They really don't. They really don't.
Okay.
Shrimp heads, you know what? I love sucking the juice out of a shrimp head. I love doing that. It's delicious.
Let me see. Pasta like... Luigi with it. No, I'm sorry. Because I was like, I just got past Padma's opening dress. What the hell am I going to do? It's like we're like 30 minutes in. I got scared.
Well, everyone's cooking. So here come the judges. The judges walk in, you know, and you know they've set up the tables like it's like a big T shape. Like the judges are at like the T part of it, and then everyone's at the long part, and they're all getting ready. And the Connecticut guy is mad because he fucked up his chorizo, and it's like crumbling. And it's like, who would have thought the guy from Connecticut would mess up his chorizo? Who would have thought?
Yeah, who'd have thought? And who'd have thought Gail would have been in a pattern? Also, I love that Gail starts so seriously. She's like, hello, chefs. Shut up, Gail. You're on Top Chef. Calm down. Did you see the commercial for Tabitha's new show?
I saw a trailer for it, yeah. I'm very excited for that. When does that start?
There's a flaming gay guy sobbing in his hands. And then she goes, yee. You've given up on yourself. And my mom's like, rewind it. I want to hear it again. You have given up on yourself. And then she goes, you are being a complete wuss. My mom's like, hey, that's what I say to you. A very touching time watching the show.
I like that your mom found a kindred spirit in Tabitha.
Yeah, she did. She's like, her face is weird. But I like that she's just yelling at people. I'm like, that's what she does. Welcome to Bravo.
Yeah. So, I believe at this point, the potluck then gets underway, does it not?
Yeah, I fast-forwarded a lot in my notes so that I could get past Gail's patterns and stuff.
Why would you fast-forward over the tasting part? That's the best
part. No, I mean in my notes.
Oh,
I'm scrolling past
sorry,
a lot of nonsense that I've written down.
Maybe I should look at your notes. I'm curious to see what you wrote down.
Well, the girl from Orange is New Black, I mean... Poor thing, but you're on Top Chef, okay? You can't say things like potatoes. I don't know how to make potatoes. Like, I don't even like potatoes. I mean, we have Mormon potato salad, so I could say that, but it's more like Mormon funeral potatoes, which like, that sounds so sad. And then she's like, I work at a crudo bar, which means I can make really good fish. I'm like, that's raw fish, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I'm distracted because I'm trying to read your notes, and I think they're hilarious. Like this one. Asian, looking around, dumplings in 25, Hef Joe, to impress with his better. My dish is basically chop salad.
Yeah, he's like trying to impress, and he can't even cook because he's just staring around at what everyone else is doing. Because he's like, oh my god, they're famous. And then he ends up with like a chop salad.
I liked actually that he chose to make a salad, because when he was like, I'm going to make a salad, I thought I think that's a good move at a potluck where everyone's going to be serving up pork belly, pork belly, pork belly. Like it'll be nice to have a salad.
Yeah. Well, I scrolled down to the eating where it says eating in caps. Okay.
Yes.
So Rogelio loved this guy and we called it, and it's not a racist thing like, oh, there's a Hispanic guy, there's a Mexican guy, he must have been a line cook. But when he told his story, you know, they immigrated, he worked in restaurants, and he worked his way up from the very bottom all the way to the top. You go, bitch. You go, Rogelio. I'm behind you, baby.
He's cute. Rogelio's cute. We like Rogelio. This chorizo stew with candied beans.
Yeah, he's learned how to say things so white people can eat it. He's like, it's chorizo stew, but with candy beans. It's like, oh, he candied something. Okay, it's not just chorizo.
Yeah. So then
Padma's next... like, that was delicious, homie. I meant delicious and homie. Homie. Is it racist that I called Rogelio homie?
My dear friend Gail Simmons seems to think that the French Laundry is where she has to take her shirt after this. She always gets so many stains. Isn't she just adorable?
How about a French boutique?
Look at Gail. She has some of that chorizo right on her lapel. She doesn't even see it. Oh.
That guy's like, yeah, it all starts on a fucking farm. And she's like, yes, just like everything Gail wears.
Gail loves farms. She made us pull over and pet cows 3 different times on the way over here. That's why we're so late. Apologies, everyone.
Yeah. One of those cows was Gail's prom date. Am I right, Gail? Oh, Gail.
Gail's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
So the Amish guy makes rustic dumplings, which I don't know what Amish dumplings are.
Aren't dumplings inherently rustic?
I mean, it's like balls of flour cooked in chicken stock. So.
Yeah, with like, do they have like little buckles on them? Is that what made them Amish?
He's like, there's actually rust. There's actually rust.
They're rusty dumplings. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention they're rusty. We oxidized some metal.
He's like, if you're not pooping when you bleed tomorrow, I did not make these rustically Amish enough. Okay.
So then we have a Bruce moment, and Tom's like, well, I got a full disclosure. I actually know Bruce. And Pam is like, I know Bruce too. And Gail's like, I know Bruce. And everyone's like, I know Bruce.
And he's like, yeah, I'm famous. Please don't make me walk, please. So, hey, if you're famous, why'd you make a skirt steak, sir?
Famous people can make skirt steaks, Ronnie.
Padma's like, wow, a skirt steak. Still more appetizing than the one Gail's wearing. Am I right, Gail?
By the way, just a public announcement. If there are any leftovers, just send them to Gail. She just, you know, she just loves them. She's so sweet.
She's like, Gail, he appreciates your compliment, but you're chewing on cardboard right now. Gail's like, sorry.
I mean, you know, Gail, give her a piece of rubber and she'll be happy.
So stupid.
So next up you said Asian Joe?
Asian Joe.
Oh, you chew.
Why did I write Asian Joe?
You know, chew. I don't know. There's so many Joes going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going back to my notes. I'm getting confused with your notes. I'm going to slow down. You, I will follow you, but I'm going back to my notes.
Yeah, I just skipped those. Like, I didn't understand the Asian Joe part, so then I skipped over to Tanya.
Yeah.
She runs Brown Sugar. We already talked about that. She made chili honey glazed wings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think this was Mustache Joe. He's like, it's really cool to see someone so old.
Yes. I was like, shut up, Handlebar. Don't shame someone old. You're the one who's actually trying to look like you're from 1910.
So funny and so rude. That guy's a little shithead.
He is a little shithead. Little Handlebar Mustache shithead making good gnocchi in 45 minutes.
So then we meet Brother Luck.
It's yeah.
Like, come on. Your name is not Brother.
That's actually his name. And he just opened up a restaurant called Four by Brother Luck, and he opened it up like 2 days ago, which is crazy. I don't even know how that restaurant will still be in business.
Well, his story is weird because he opened a hotel restaurant and somebody called him a hotel chef. And so he got so offended that he opened his own restaurant in 45 days and then left. So I already asked him because who does that?
Yeah.
First of all, you don't open a restaurant in 45 days. It's almost impossible. And second of all, no one who really gives a shit would leave. Okay, you wait till the next season.
I also really don't like when people put like their names in the restaurant, like in terms of like Four by Brother Luck. I don't like that. You know, it's one thing if he calls it Luck or Brother, even if he calls it Brother Luck. I don't mind a restaurant that's named after you, but like if you give it another name, but you can't help but put your name onto it on top of that, like. You know, Lampshade like by Brother Luck. Yeah.
Well, like you're making up your own name too. So it's like two made up things. It's like you just live in this fairy world, you know. No one's name is Brother Luck. Okay. It's like a detective series.
Yeah. with a monk. So yeah. You know, it's Brother Luck. You know, remember that restaurant that was over by you, 9021 Pho?
Yeah, they could never rhyme. I felt so bad for them.
Yeah. Well, I went in there once because the chef is like Kimmy Tang. And I think it was just called 9021 Pho. But when you go in there, everything was like Kimmy Tang, Kimmy Tang, Kimmy Tang. There were giant photos of her cooking and like tasting broth and like looking at noodles. It was all like the Kimmy Tang show. And I was like, this is such a narcissistic piece of shit restaurant right now. And the pho wasn't even good. I was like, I'm glad you closed.
Yeah, I don't think people who know how to make pho pose while they make it. It's just weird.
Yeah, exactly. It was so over the top, as if like we should all be bowing down at the altar of Kimmy Tang.
Mm-hmm.
She's no two, that's for sure. She's no two. And two made the salad, and everyone loved the salad. And I was like, yay, two. A two.
Yeah, but... Oh, wait. This is... Okay, my mom had a fucking fit at this part.
Please, and she should elaborate.
Because he's like, I'm going to make salpicón. And my mom's like, you cannot make salpicón in 45 minutes. Who the fuck is this guy? And I was like, well, maybe it'll be different. Because salpicón is basically, you take like a brisket or pork or whatever, and you cook it overnight. You know, you braise it overnight so it's falling apart. So you just pull it apart, and it's like these strings of meat. And you chill it, and then you make your own chili or whatever. And my mom makes it, you know. She learned it from... La Chicanas in El Paso, and it's delicious. She's like, how dare you? Another thing they're saying, this 45 minutes, this is bullshit. And then he makes corn salpicón. You know what that means? His ass threw some corn and some salsa, and everyone's like, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
We were furious, and she said it 20 times.
Well, I get annoyed when chefs do that sort of like cutesy stuff, you know, like ham and cheese sandwich, and it's just like a deconstructed banh mi with like a vegetable free deconstructed banh mi, and like what? It's a ham and cheese.
Yeah, she's like, wow, how good corn salsa? Yeah, crazy.
You know the thing that drives me nuts the most, because I saw it on some Food Network thing once. I hate when people say it's a study in something. It's a study in pancetta, and they have like three little different things. It's like a study in. I was like, no, it's not a study. It's three different pancetta things.
Yeah, it's little. Yeah, it's food. Okay, it's called a snack.
We have a progression of radishes now.
A progression. I'm sure they're all Bernie Sanders.
These little radishes, angry, pointing, yelling.
I would vote for the progressives every election if it was progressions. I'm going to run as a progression in the next.
It's Flo, the progression lady. I would like Bernie Sanders, Flo, and a can of Progresso. And they can square off.
Flo, the progression lady.
are they progressive or progression? I forget what they're even called. You know when your brain starts to think too hard and you're like, what?
Mm-mm.
It was like someone, I was playing a word game. You're like, no. I was playing a word game yesterday with someone, and their clue was parting. And I was like, parting. I was like, what does this word mean? What does parting Hair. Mean?
Leaving.
The answer was like Moses.
Oh, yeah. That should have been first on my list. I'm up in the house of religion.
Well, you know what's funny? That my clue for the next thing was chowder. And then guess... And chowder was supposed to allude to both potato and to soup. And guess what? You know what Melissa made? Pancetta with potato chowder. I was like, oh my God. Today is the day of chowder.
Wait, are we in the main... We're still on potluck, right?
We're still on potluck. Yes, because...
Okay.
Because
when you say potatoes, I'm like, wait, am I lost? No. It's a potato challenge. No,
this is like a pre-potato moment. It was like it was the potato mousse bouche. So Melissa's like, it's a potato chowder. There's pancetta. There's seasonings. And you can have it... You use a spoon and you can have it. And Pamela goes, are you nervous?
Melissa, I like that.
Did you mean to have such an awkward presentation? Did you mean to stumble out of the gate on your nationally televised debut.
I feel like it's the first time that I've thought of being a vegetarian because I can taste your fear. Did you mean to have terrible eyebrows this long after being on television and having no excuse? I wasn't talking to you, Gail. But really, I was.
So they did not really love the potato chowder because the potato's undercooked. And Padma,
well, if the
like,
bitch doesn't like potatoes, why is she making potato chowder?
Exactly. Stupid.
I'm confused by that girl.
Yeah, she didn't
like potatoes.
And I
wanted to be nice to her because she was like crying literally the whole time, or crying on the inside at least. I did like Claudette because, of course, we called her. I was like, anybody with tortoiseshell glasses that severe is evil. Like, you could just tell she's evil. And she is. It's like she's totally coming through. And she does that thing that Aaron Sanchez does on Food Network that we love, where she's like, hi, I'm Claudette Wilkins. Okay, her name is Claudette Wilkins, everybody. Okay, she's like, hi, I'm Claudette Wilkins, and I made mole coladito. Jalapeno bandito.
I like how you just like turned her into like, what's like a really stereotypical. It was like I'm surprised you didn't go, ah, yeah, afterwards.
Me too, but I'm surprised she didn't because it's so funny. Like, your name is Claudette Wilkins. Okay?
Her name is Claudette.
I'm Claudette
Zepeda.
Wilkins.
Zepeda Wilkins.
And, okay. She's like, I'm Claudette Zepeda Wilkins, and I really enjoy the sunshine, clouds, and mole cacarito!
I like her name, Claudette Zepeda Wilkins. Like, she should definitely be a local news anchor for Boise. You know?
That's how El Paso news anchors talk, too.
Yeah. So now it's time to like for the potluck's over and you know, this is when it's the big twist, like, we're not gonna be judging you, you're gonna be judging you. You have to vote and say what your favorites are and your least favorite, but you can't vote for yourself, etc. So they fill out these forms.
Girl, I called this one. I was like, it's all gonna be women because these it's a misogynist job in general, and I guarantee that the girl who bragged about herself and the girl who smiles too much will be in the bottom because chefs hate that.
Well, actually, though, the ones who were in the bottom were not quite those. You had Melissa with her potato chowder and bundle of nerves was in the bottom, but so was Carrie. Carrie is a local Denver chef.
That's a smiler.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I feel like nowadays Top Chef always casts some local people, like, oh, you're a local chef. You know some of the local chefs here. And the local chefs always bomb on Top Chef. I think the pressure gets to them.
Yeah, I think so, too, because they're trying to do everything too local smokal instead of every, you know.
Because Carrie made a bruschetta, and bruschetta was just not a good choice for a potluck because – first of all, that's more like an appetizer thing, and also it like gets soggy on the bread as it sits there, etc. So it just didn't really work for everyone. And Melissa's potatoes weren't done. So, that's her problem, too.
Yeah. And Bruce, of course, always has something to say because she's like, you will be judging yourself or each other. And then they start having comments. And of course, Bruce is like the more famous one. So he's like, I want better potatoes. We know, Bruce. We know.
Really have it out for Bruce, huh?
I do. I don't like Bruce. I don't like someone that's like, I'm famous, and then immediately needs help and accepts the help. I'm with Claudette Zepeda Wilkins, who's like, you need help? What a pussy, or whatever she said. I was like, you go, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love Bruce, and I didn't love that he seemed not ungrateful, but we didn't seem to be like, oh, thanks so much. I mean, but we didn't see it either. I mean, it could have been edited out, but I mean, I'm neither here nor there with Bruce so far. I'm just sort of getting my lay of the land. There's no one that I really truly hate so far. But either way, the top three for this quickfire were both of the Joes, and Padma, of course, had a great time. She was like, all right, the top three is Joe, and they're like, Joe? Which Joe? And other Joe, see what I did there, Gail? Calm down. Calm down, Gail.
She's like, I would like to say mustache and Horace. Congratulations. Mustache and
Horace. Horace Hill. All right, mustache. No, Gail, I'm not talking about your milk mustache. And also to
David Fu, love Julie Newmar.
So,
to and Gail's like, I would have to agree. No one asked you, Gail.
And then wasn't it Tom? He was like, well, if I had a choice, I probably also would have added smiley face over there. I don't know. I remember. I don't remember who it was, but he was
like, yeah, you know, I would just say I want more acid. So that would be great, yeah. You know, to get more acid. And Gail's like, too, you really spoke to potluck.
As we all know, potluck is Gail's invisible friend. He's a dinosaur, but has no scales. I mean, a dragon. Have you seen the new Jurassic Park trailer? Gail was terrified.
My mom goes, wait a minute. Did they just pick the guy with corn and radishes? Like, yes, Mom. That is not Salpi Cone! Like, it was heard all throughout Austin, reverberating through the trees.
So then we go to the Elimination Challenge, which is, it's very Food Network. It's basically like, we're going to throw a block party, and since Denver is a meat and potatoes kind of town, we want you to do something that's meat and potatoes, but with a modern twist. That's like, meat and potatoes with a modern twist. That is so next Food Network star.
And now, it's time to get to the meat of the challenge. Get it? Yes, Padma. Glad they put that in all caps for you, babe.
Yeah. So then we see them, I think after the commercial break or something like that, they're like driving to Whole Foods and stuff, and we see Fatima. Fatima is the Pakistani chef, and she's basically talking about how she was totally obsessed with Padma growing up because she would watch Padma on BBC One or something like that, which is cute.
Yeah. And they both wear Chola eye pencils, which I love.
Yeah.
And also, then this is in the other car. This is where I fall in love with my current favorite, the Alaskan lady.
Yeah, I love her. Laura Cole.
I love her. They're like, so what's it like being a chef in Alaska? She's like, well, you know, it's great. Alaska's great. And he goes, what's your restaurant name? And she said, 229 Parks, because it's at mile 229. And it's on the east side of the whatever. I love that they measure things like that. And he's like, so what do you make? And she goes, well, you know, whatever the Alaskan proteins are. We've got 7 reindeer going to slaughter right now. And then the music just goes,
yeah, it's basically like reindeer, grizzly bear, and some moss. That's what you get at her restaurant.
Yeah. And Fat Joe's like, I watch a lot of Alaskan First Frontier, and she pretty much falls in line with the Alaskan ladies that I see on that show.
Yeah, pretty much. She has to buy her flour, like, by the pallet and have it shipped up to Alaska. I was like, damn, I didn't realize Alaska was that far away. You don't even have flour there?
She's like, we don't have a Whole Foods. Yeah. But I do watch Top Chef, so I know that people run towards the meat. I don't know where that is, but I will be doing, like, everything they say. She's like, well, you know, when you live in Alaska, you have to be quick on your toes because you never know when moose are going to come in and eat all of your cabbage.
Yeah, that was literally one thing that she said when, because she was going to make a yeasted bread and then she changed it to a pita. And she literally was like, well, you know, I can be adaptable because, listen, we were going to serve cabbage soup and a moose came through. So guess what? Moose soup.
I love her.
So, and Tyler, meanwhile, like, I'm still like, I was like starting to like Tyler because I liked the way he was pushing back on so many of the cooking cliches. But now he's like, yeah, I'm going to make a dish that he's never made before. You know what? I'm on Top Chef. I'm trying to hit home runs, not singles. I'm like, oh, shut up. Just make something that's good.
You still have to bring it back to baseball, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
What was he making, though? I forget.
Some beef, something or another.
And Fat Joe's like, oh, I'm going to do a tartare because I want to do something lighter. You know, my friends think that I can only cook fancy food and I don't know how to make a sandwich. I'm like, honey, no one thinks you don't know how to make a sandwich.
No one thinks you can make a small sandwich.
Exactly. And be proud of it. Tartare. Well, I don't know. I'm glad someone stood against tartare later.
Well, unfortunately for Jonah Hill, other Joe, Handlebar Joe, is also making beef tartare. So both Joes are making tartares. I'm sorry. So I actually think beef tartare is absolutely delicious, but like you have to have it like, I think, at like a place where you have to trust the process and the meat and everything. And also, I think with tartares, you don't want them like sitting around for obvious reasons. So if there's like a block party, the last thing I would want would be like a big old thing of beef tartare that's just been sitting there that's just taking a scoop out of it. I'm like, that does not work for me.
Yeah, I don't believe that a guy with handlebars on his mouth is a very clean person. Yeah. Like, I would rather have, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then Adrian, kind of the arrogant girl, is like, I'm from the Bernadette, and so I bring a high level of technique. So I shall show my high level. I will make caramel fish with a sweet potato puree. I'm like, so baby food with sugared fish.
Yeah.
Get out of here, lady.
And then we got like a sequence of everyone like running around the kitchen, like 2 minutes left. I'm in the weeds. And then it's like
Smokey, Sweetie, Four Doors of Oh, that's Tyler. Okay, so Bruce, he's like, yeah, well, I do so many of these festivals, you know. I do this festival and that festival and the Food and Wine Festival and the Aspen Food and Fine, blah, blah. I was in Hairspray. So for me, like, doing 200 at a time is really not a big deal.
Yeah, if it's not such a big deal, why are you having two doing all your work for you?
Yeah. Now, getting from here to the refrigerator is a different story, but... so pressure cooker drama, Fat Joe lamb tartare. I'm lost because I don't know what I'm writing anymore.
It was just like, you know, cooking, like lots of cooking, and it always like climaxes with them like spinning those racks around in the plastic. Like that's like the favorite shot on Top Chef. Like, oh, let's get a shot of them wrapping the saran wrap around the thing. Let's spin it around. One of these days, it's gonna be Bruce who's getting spun around in the saran wrap.
I did love when he dropped the saran wrap. Certain things were making me laugh so hard. My mom was like, what are you laughing at? I said, I don't even know. I'm just so glad this show's back. But Amish Chris is like, okay, I'm going to make some barbecue beef brisket, some potato waffles, which are basically waffle fries from Chick-fil-A, in my head at least.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and then I'm going to make some onion dust chow chow. Like, that's a dog.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I went to a restaurant on Monday, and I got a dish that came with chow chow. And I was like, huh, I wonder what chow chow is. And then earlier last night, I was watching Chopped, and someone was like, I'm going to make it with a green bean chow chow. And I was like, chow chow? And then on Top Chef, they're like, I'm going to do this with chow chow. I was like, chow chow? It's everywhere.
I guess it's just a new way. It's just
like a
corn.
It's like a relish.
Yeah, he's like, learned. It's just corn. Chow chow is a mean dog that has too much hair, and it sheds everywhere, and it will bite you, okay? Yeah. I don't want to eat a chow chow.
No, I wouldn't want that either. So then eventually they all go back to, they go to their house, and then it's like the real world, you know? It's like, whoa, look at this place, this room, my room. And the fat guys all, like, room together, so that way they don't bother each other with their sleep apnea machines.
And Tyler's like, it makes sense that Fat Horace would want to sleep with us. I mean, he's younger than us, but... he'll be on an apnea machine in a few months.
So now, so it's like fun times there. Bruce is concerned his gnocchi won't be ready, etc. And then it's...
yeah. Okay, Bruce, you had help all fucking day. And you're the one who's like, I didn't have enough time.
Yeah, please. So now it's the next day. We're in Larimer Square, and it's time for the block party, and everyone's getting ready. And handlebar guy is like, oh, I can't get my stuff hot enough. I don't know. My burners. I'm like, aren't you making tartare? Anyway, so two is like, oh, yeah, you can take my pot. I'll just, like, heat up my stew in, like, one of these, what do they call those pans? Chef's pans or something?
They're like Schaefer pans. I don't know what you call them.
You put them on, like, an induction burner. He's like, yeah, the risk is that it may scorch. I'm like, so what you're telling us is that it's going to scorch. That's what always happens.
Yeah, and I mean, I know I'm supposed to like him because he's being helpful, but he's ruining his own game for stupid handlebar, you know? Yeah,
handlebar. I mean, Two has got immunity, so, but he's got to start thinking about himself, okay? Two, don't do that.
Yeah, and then Laura's cooking, and she's like, oh my God, time goes so fast when you're not in Alaska. And then Carrie's like, oh my God, it's so nice because I have so many fans. Like, I'm the only one with people around my tent saying hi. So I think because you're at the entrance. So then, but go on being happy.
So then Padma and Gail and Tom and Graham show up, and Padma's like, here's to a lot of meat and even more potatoes. Gail, you must be excited.
I hope someone brought a shovel to help dear Gail.
We might as well just rename this Gail Square.
She tells the, you know how she's like talking to the guests as she comes in? She's like, oh, hello. Are you ready to eat? It's like, wow, you're really making it fun. So they start with Fatima.
Yeah.
And she makes some Indian street food, some braised chicken and pea samosa stuff.
Yeah, it looks delicious.
And she goes, Padma goes, this is like Pakistani nachos. It's going to be an avalanche. You got that almost like Chad Padid. And she turns to Tom and she goes, that's like Indian edamame. He's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. You said about everything. You said about lasagna. I get it, Padma. And she's like, did you mean to make such an avalanche with your delicious homage to me?
When I say it's going to be an avalanche, I meant Gail in about 10 minutes after stuffing her face.
Oh, be sure to have more of these ready for her. She does not like to wait.
Poor Gail. She's not wearing a pattern, but she's wearing this weird color block dress. It's like this poop brown.
Yes, with like white, right? White on top. Yeah. I remember this. Like through my, this is around the part I was like getting sleepy. I was like, Hamilton. But I was like, wait, eyes open, take in this image. Gail is brown, but there's like, it's like a weird rhombus of brown. And then white on the shoulders.
It's like shaped into a spade, like on a card. And then the top is white. I'm like, poor Gail. It's like she puts herself into the Queen of Hearts scene in Alice in Wonderland. But she's just like a knight of spades. So sad.
Oh, the world turns upside down.
Fatima's like, I just pooped. Padma likes me. Okay, so Brittany. Oh, there's some girl named Brittany. She's this like little white skinny girl. You know, they just showed a guest who I hate the guests, like the normal people. Yeah. And she's like, like potatoes with Pakistani food? Like, how's that gonna work? It's like, shut up, 22-year-old white girl. Shut up.
Yeah, go back to University of Boulder. What are you talking about? How are potatoes going to work with Indian food? Have you even seen Indian food? Have you never noticed all the potatoes in Indian food? Have you ever had a veggie samosa?
Yeah, she's like, how's that going to work? Pakistani, I don't get it. I see a camera. I'm going to say something veggie just because there's a camera there.
So Tu serves up a Vietnamese stew of some sort. And Gail's like, I taste bitterness. I taste a little bit of bitterness. The stew has been scorched. It's been scorched. Stupid handlebar mustache taking his pot. That's for you two.
Yeah. Am I standing next too close to Gail, who got stuck with Graham on this round? Poor Gail. Like, she doesn't have enough personality to get stuck with Graham. He's like, did you like it? She's like, yeah. Let's go eat some more food. Like, that's the only thing she got to say the whole time.
I love Gail. I want Gail to have her just desserts again. I wish, like, they should bring that back. Stupid child molester ruining it for everyone.
No kidding, right? God, those child molesters are really making a dent.
Yeah.
Sick of it.
Did you see, by the way, this has nothing to do with child molesters. Gregory from Top Chef a few seasons ago was there?
No, I didn't notice him, but I did notice Hosea. That son of a bitch. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, Jose, I'm still mad that he won, but I'm glad at least that he grew in his beard instead of having that giant Brillo pad under his chin.
I'm glad that they shot him from the side because he looked busted. I was like, haha, they hate Hosea too.
He is just the worst. The worst.
He's the worst. Okay, so, thanks for listening to Watch What Crap Is.
So Bruce Hosea is gnocchi. Everyone likes Bruce's gnocchi. Of course, because he had help from two to wrap up that thing. And then Carrie served up a braised beef short rib, but she served it with like a chip of some sort. And Tom's like, the chips are burnt. I'm getting some bitterness. I think it's a burnt chip. It's a burnt chip. This is almost as bad as making coq au vin without an old hen.
And Carrie's a smiley one. So she's like, oh gosh, I put those chips aside just for you because I thought they were perfect. And now they're not even perfect. Well, I'm still happy to be here. What a great day. God, I love goat cheese. Guess I went a little too hard on that one. Sorry, guys.
Yep,
it's like, you need to stop. Tom, she's lucky Tom just didn't say, shut up, smiley lady. Go home. You know what I can't take? A smile. Go home.
No. Like, why would you smile? You know, we're here to be Top Chef and not Small Chef.
So, who made this? Oh, Mustache. He's like, I made a beef tartare with a seaweed crumble and onion yeast and potato flakes.
It's like, rumble, rumble.
Could you make that sound more disgusting? Like, everything you just said sounds disgusting.
And Padma goes, do I just put all this in at once? I mean, who am I, Gail Simmons?
And this is when he's like, Padma can't fit all my meat in her mouth. And then he laughs at himself for 5 minutes. And then Tom's like, well, I like cold meat. And Padma she's like, yeah, I hate warm, slimy meat. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, 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 ha.
So next is Brother Luck. And it was really funny watching the whitest person on TV go up to him, Gail. And she's like, hello, brother.
Hello, my man. Hello, my... No, don't say the N-word, Gail.
So then Brother Luck, poor thing, he's like, well... This is inspired by the state flower Columbine. I was like, who says that? What?
Just say state flower. You could just say the state flower. You don't have to say Columbine also.
Yeah, he's like, I want this to look like Columbine. Sounds delicious, dude. Thanks for having us.
You know what's actually kind of crazy is that Columbine happened, that was like 99, right, or 2000. That's like almost 20 years ago.
And so, it's still not okay.
No, it's still not okay, but it's kind of funny to think that there are like, kids growing up, when they hear Columbine, it doesn't do anything to them. But to us, we're like, Columbine?
No. Yeah. I remember I was here in Austin for, I think, the 15th year of 9/11. When was that? That was two years ago or something?
That was 2016.
So they were showing it on TV, and they were like, 9/11, 9/11. And these kids were next to me, and they asked their mom. They were like, what's that?
Oh, no. Fucking kids.
Well, I mean, how could they know?
They don't even know who Kurt Cobain is either, I bet.
Oh, yeah. They don't even know that it's Courtney's fault. It's like you have to teach kids everything. Okay, so Gail, how's it going, brother? And he made Columbine potatoes, which sounds disgusting and sad. And then Rogelio made some croquettes. He made some potato and meat croquettes. Columbine potatoes. But Tom's like, whoa, did you taste meat? And Padma's like, nope. Please don't pull off. What did she say? Please don't try and pull off slimy cold meat. Like, once Padma had slimy meat, she just rolled with it for the rest of the episode.
I think I had.
Hold on, my dad's here. What? Oh. You can talk.
Oh, it's Ronnie's dad.
What do I want? For lunch? Are we going to go somewhere? Let's go someplace. I'll hang up on Ben. We're done FOMO. Here. Let's just stop, Chef. No, can you give me 15 minutes? Well, I'm going to meet Carly, so just go. Okay, yeah, bring me a Whataburger Junior meal with cheese and jalapeno. Yeah, listen to my order. A Whataburger Junior cheese and jalapeno meal, large size with a Dr. Pepper, and then another Whataburger Junior with cheese and jalapeno on the side. Yes, you can. Just pretend you're talking on the cell phone so you don't sound like a binge eater. That's what I do. Dad, we're recording a Whataburger Junior meal with cheese and jalapeno. Yes. And then an extra Whataburger cheese and jalapeno on the side. Yeah, everything else is fine. Just make sure it's water-sized and with the Dr. Pepper. And if I'm not here, just throw it in the fridge. God, I love you. Oh my god, I got to order that from bed.
That was so cute. That totally reminds me of like when I'm home. But what's the best part about that is how your voice got high. It became like a little kid because you're like, Padma is talking about slimy meat. Oh Dad, I'll have a Whataburger and fries and what a sized and on the side another Whataburger with fries and
That's how I ask for things.
And he's like, what? Could you say it again? He's gonna text me and say what?
Yeah.
So I love that guy.
He's so sweet. So around this time in the episode, again, I was like passing out. I was in Hamilton slumber, but I did wake up enough to hear Gail talking about how much she loved Chris's Chow Chow. And I was like, huh, what's happening? Who's Chris?
The first time I ever ate Chow Chow. Please stop, Gail. Disgusting. She'll really eat anything.
my dear friend Gail Simmons, she's not happy with just one chow. She needs to have two. Bless her heart.
So Tyler, he's like, hey, I hope you enjoy my sweet potato puree, crispy potatoes, and smoked potatoes, and pork gravy, and smoked potato. And Tom's like, I like it. And Badman goes, I like crispy potatoes. The skin, it's curling around. You really went there with the skin. Wow. Look at the skin, Tom.
She did love that skin. I do remember she said that. She was like fascinated with how the skin could curl around, which I'm still confused at what she's talking about.
Yeah, and he's like, well, yeah, because I'm on Top Chef. I'm not going to make tartare like some pussy. And they were like, whoa, damn, Tyler.
Yeah, he's like, I was a punk rocker. Food saved my life. So then Melissa, meanwhile, made a potato puree with pork belly, and they're like, huh, okay. And they walk away, and Padma goes, did you like that? And Tom's like, no.
Nope.
Should we give it to Gail? Don't want to waste food.
Should we give it to the garbage disposal?
Well, you know, Gail, she'll eat anything. Just hand it over there. I mean, might as well be a rubber shoe at this point. She'll whatever it is. One time I gave her a light bulb to turn in. Next thing I knew, her gums were bleeding.
If there was a fast food restaurant based on fingernails, Gail would buy it out every day. Disgusting. Gail's like, is this a steak and potato croquette? No. And then, I love these people.
And then they go to Adrian, who I think that's the one that you don't like, from Le Bernardin, and they eat her baby food and candy fish. And Pam is like, this is just too sweet. You know, it's just sweet and sweet. It's just basically really disgusting. Thank you.
And she's like, oh, but I'm from Le Bernardin. This is not the impression I wanted to give. I'm like, your name is Cheat Ham. Okay, that's not a winning name. Change your name, Cheat Ham.
So,
Cheat. Yeah.
So now the judges sit down and they talk about what they
What do you think? Well,
they like Fatima and Tyler. They like Fatima and Tyler, and they also like Bruce and Mustache Joe and Chris. But
yeah,
but Carrie's potato chip does not go over well.
Yeah, Tom's like, that was burnt. It was a burnt chip. It was like a chip and dip. I like a chip and dip, but I don't like a bad chip and dip.
I'll tell you.
Glad you're here.
It's too bad they didn't have riches because I certainly was ruffled.
Now, Chip and Dale, there's a team. That's a team right there.
Chip and dip, also a good team. Chip and burn, not a team. For a good reason.
Did you see the commercial with Andy Cohen with two of the people from The Crown?
I stopped it for like a second, and I was like, Andy, you have got to get your look together. You are like haggard these days. Like,
oh, I thought
get
he looked
haircut.
So cute. It was just so awkward because he's with two English people from The Crown, which is like a smart show. And he's like, so, guys, you're from The Crown. And they just looked at him like, what are we doing here?
We're all... So, how big do you think Queen Elizabeth's boobs really are?
It's like, that is going to be the most awkward episode of Watch What Happens Live of all time.
Yeah.
But he did get it all in his time allotment. So I had to write, say congratulations. Because he was like, tonight, right after Top Chef. And then nodded and winked. I was like, you did it.
Yay. So now we go to the judges' table. And again, they're like, let's whip out the slow motion camera. Walk in slow, like we're in Armageddon.
Did you see Gail try and walk in her color-blocked spade dress? So they started talking about who's good and who's bad and all that stuff. They loved, you know, who you said. Let me see.
The ones who were on top were Tyler, Chris, and Fatima wound up on top.
Yes, and Amish Chris Graham was like, I was really trying to wrap my head around it, but I finally got it. It's like it was barbecue and corn.
Yeah. Gail loved Chris's crispy waffle. So here's where my notes get really sparse, because now I was like full on like sleeping. But I like woke up like just in time to hear Gail be like, I loved your crispy waffle.
And Amish Chris is like, yeah, well, I was inspired by family, because where I'm from, family is culture and culture is family, and family shines like culture and dumplings. I was like, shut up. You didn't just win an Oscar, okay, Amish Chris. You're on my good side. Stay there.
Yeah. And then
the
winner,
of course, with Chris is like, so I have one question, Tyler. How did you do that potato? It curled in. Gail, did you hear it? Did you hear that? It curled in. Gail wouldn't know because she inhaled it too quickly. Gail, did you feel it in your lungs curling around?
Can we get someone from production to sweep up the burnt chips around Gail's chair? Thank you. Thank you.
So the winner is Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler's the winner. And then we bring out the bottom three, which is Adrian, Melissa, and Carrie. So this is when...
And you're lucky, Tu Wong Fu, love Julie Newmar, because you would be out if you didn't have immunity.
So Padma does her favorite thing and our favorite thing. She looks at Cheetham, whatever her name was, Adrian, and goes, "Did you want your dish to be that sweet?" I was like, yes, she Padma'd her. Oh, so good. It was so good, Padma.
Got Padma'd, sucker.
"Did you mean to make an atrocious dish for us?"
And Tom was like, "Well, you know, the tostoni was sweet, and then you had pork, and you made that sweet. Then, I was standing by Padma, and she's sweet, you know, because Padma's great. And, you know, the air, there was something in the air that was sweet. Someone was chewing gum. There was just a lot of sweet going on.
Someone had brought a DVD copy of The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I was like, oh, that's sweet."
It's like, you're like sweet and low, but without the sweet end. It's just low, you know, because there's already too much sweet. She's like, "Oh, I'm from La Bernadan." She's like, "Did you mean to embarrass La Bernadan?"
"Did you mean to sully Eric Rapera's reputation?"
"You put the repair in Eric Repair."
But ultimately, they just really didn't like Melissa's mashed potatoes because she obviously sucks at potatoes.
Yeah, which she just keeps making traditionally over and over.
Yeah.
Again.
So ultimately, Melissa gets the axe and she's sent packing.
And it's so sad when she's crying because she's like, of course, I was the first one to get kicked off. So, like, of course, it sucks. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, it totally sucks. But I don't understand what about Tom, man, because he sent it. And the quick fire is going to be different. Or the comeback kitchen or whatever is going to be different than ever. And then they just kept the camera on her. And she just kept sobbing and sobbing and hating herself more and more. It was so mean. And I loved it.
And then it sort of like ended with her going to Last Chance Kitchen. And then there was like some sort of twist that I evidently slipped through.
Well, did you see the commercial that Brooke did? This was the best part of the show. Brooke, winner of last year, you know, is all done up. She's had like a glamour shots thing. And she's wearing like a flowered dress. And she's walking with, I think, like a margarita or something. And she's like, "Hi, Brooke here. These beautiful surroundings bring me back to winning Top Chef. I was in my comfort zone." And then they show like an octopus leg or something, or an octopus arm. She's like, "And now that I am out of the heat of the kitchen, it is time for a much needed vacation at Secrets La Mujeres." Like, this is the most awkward thing I've ever seen. No one wants to go on that vacation now. Okay, here's the secret. You're awkward. Get the fuck off camera. Stop trying to sell vacation packages, okay?
Yeah.
Make me an octopus leg.
And so that was pretty much all of Top Chef. And since it is Friday and we've had like the last several Fridays off, why don't we go back to something that we have not done in forever? Let's get it back on track. Why don't we do some Crabbin's mailbag, shall we?
Well, sure.
So, Crappin's Mailbag is a segment we do where we answer questions that people submit. And if you want to submit those questions, you can support the podcast on Patreon. And if you support at the Crappin's Mailbag or higher, then you get to write in a question. So here's one. Now, these questions, we apologize, they've been sitting here for a little bit of time, but we've got three left, and we'll start up a new mailbag. So Sue Vlocky asks, "Is it me or is Deandra's mother a clone of Shirley Jones? If she was, how would the Real Housewives of Dallas Partridge family make their living? Surely they aren't all musically talented. Would they go on the road with a singing group, self-help team, wrestling act?" That's Sue Vlocky's question.
Wait, which cast?
Dallas. So Real Housewives of Dallas Partridge family make their living? If they were, I guess the idea is that D would be the mom, and the rest would be like the troubadours of some sort. So,
well, maybe they could like go out into the world and try and find different shit to make face stuff out of, like, you know, like pick off, one of them could be picking off boogers under a desk somewhere and like try and put that through a DNA scale or a DNA scanning thing. I mean, I don't know.
I like to think of them as, I like to think if they're going to be a Partridge Family, they're going to be a Partridge Family. Like, it's going to be Leanne on tambourine and she'd be like, psh, 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 listen to my tambourine. Psh, psh, psh. And then she'd just go up and like shake it in Carrie's face. Oh, Carrie Duber, you're going to listen to my tambourine and I don't fucking care. Psh, 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 psh.
You can't top me with your saxophone. Bang, 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 bang. Right in her face.
I think Brandy would be on sax. For some reason, I just see her being on sax.
Yeah, I do too. But she'd be one of those people that just like plays. And like think, every time that yeah. comes.
And I think that Stephanie would definitely be on some sort of banjo, where but she would like play it by like her head would bob left and right, sort of like a Muppet, you know, playing her little banjo. Blink, blink, blink,
blink. I think Dantra would play like three guitars. Like she'd be the really talented one. Well, but she'd be like, and then pick up another guitar and be like, and then pick up both guitars and be like,
and I think that D, of course, would be like the lead singer, and she would come out and she'd sing a song, and then she's like, now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special treat. I'd like to invite my daughter up here to sing with me. And then they'd sing a duet together, and then afterwards, D would throw a glass at the wall and be like, you messed up your notes, young lady.
I think she'd be like, I'd like to bring my soulmate and daughter up here to perform with me. Not you, Dandra. I meant Jackie. Oh, hi, Jackie. Come on over here. You got your hairnet on? All right, let's play this.
What instrument would... I feel like Cameron would play a flute. Dumb
no,
blondes.
A recorder. Yeah. A recorder.
Dumb blondes play recorders. Smart blondes play everything. Yeah, she definitely would have the recorder going, or a piccolo or something. Like,
oh, really? Is that so? Get on the organ. No, it's just a figure of speech. Hey, what else is in that male band?
Oliver Haskins. We love this Oliver Haskins. He says, I have a theory that Bethany is rebranding from Skinny Girl. Her charity is Be Strong. Her tagline was, if you want to mess with the bee, and according to Page Six, her new flower line is called Be Floral. If I am correct, get ready for a Real Housewives of New York season brought to you by the letter B, like on Sesame Street. However, I can't help but wonder, this is like Carrie from Sex and the City, I can't help but wonder if Kiwi lifestyle guru Angela Stone might feel that Bethany was cheating on a cheater brand on the back of being real. Assuming that Bethany wouldn't just hang up on Angela, how do you think that talk would go? So
we already did this one.
We did?
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, it's... Well,
I mean, I let you keep reading it, but I remember we did this one.
I think
one.
You're right.
Just throwing up leaves, because I remember thinking of Bethany just throwing up leaves in the middle of the forest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like seriously, leaves? Like seriously? I have allergies now. I have allergies. She just rename everything
right,
with the
this
bee.
Is a crisis. Like, I'll see the leaves all fall down, okay? Like, we gotta get the leaves back on the trees, okay? Okay, well, in that case, why don't we go on to Benjamin Cohen's question?
Seriously, be real. Okay?
Seriously, be real. Be real. How about this tree? Be real, okay? If you could be a birch tree, be a birch tree, okay? But don't be a fir tree. Benjamin Cohen, similar question, says, I saw that Angela Stone is selling international shopping trips on her website. I know that this is escort adjacent, but can you pass this deal up? How would you use Angela's services to enhance your lives? Well, I actually brought up the website. And it's kind of funny because I don't actually really know what a international shopping trip is. So, I mean, how it would be used to enhance our lives? I think it would just be knowing that we are on a curated trip with Angela Stone, a lifestylist.
Well, what does she know? The pee in the pod in every city? Like, what the hell? I think that if she was going to enhance my life personally, she should start a defensive driving course. And that's who teaches you how to drive, you know? And then the whole time she could just keep slamming on the brakes and going, no, that's not what I mean. Did you mean to try and kill me right now? Come on. I know you didn't mean it. You're just a terrible driver and you'll probably kill somebody. Don't cry.
Why are you crying? You failed. It's all right. We can try again.
I actually, I'm on the website, and there's actually a lot of different options to pick from. It's not really, it's not like a great website, but I clicked on, okay, men's styling. Let's see what she has to say about men's styling. And I guess the men's styling is more like she is selling a fashion trip where you go and she will fix your men's style. So she says, we can help you create the ideal wardrobe of your lifestyle. As part of a men's styling package, you will discover what brands work best for you and what colors to wear that will complement your daily life. Once we've determined your colors and your styles, we will carry out a wardrobe assessment where we will decide which items stay and which have to go. We will then go to an exclusive personal shopping trip and choose a range of garments to suit your updated image. The most important thing to us is you feel and look fantastic. Are you ready to discover an image that will improve your personal and professional success?
Wait a minute. No one's ever heard this before. There's something called finding your color.
Bitch! What are you guys just starting to get Cosmo over there? My mother had color parties back in the 80s, okay? Those fucking color parties are the reason my entire house, my childhood house, was painted salmon. Because my mother found something that told her salmon was her color. Our whole house was pink, okay? People would come in there and start laughing because that's what the color said. Angela. Let it go, Angela.
Let it go.
I'll see you as more of a salmon bean.
A little bit of a semen. I always thought it was more of a heel bit. All right, let's close
I'll see
up
you
this.
More of a snapper bean.
Let's close up this mailbag. How about that? Oh, my. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to our Top Chef recap today. Thank you to everyone who's bought tickets and everyone who plans to buy tickets. And if you are not buying tickets and you don't have no plan to do so, well, change your mind because they're great. Our shows are great. They're fun. They're super wonderful. Ronnie, have a wonderful time in Texas. We will be back on Monday for more recapping goodness, everyone. So,
good love, everybody.
Chat with you later.
Bye, guys.
Ancestry DNA is the perfect present this Christmas because the excitement isn't what's inside the box, it's what's inside the person who opens it. Find out if their roots are closer to the Tower of London, the Palace of Versailles, or the Taj Mahal. Do they share the average Londoner's 9% Scandinavian DNA? Give Ancestry DNA, the number one selling consumer DNA test, and open up a world of possibilities. Order now at ancestrydna.co.uk.